Radio Daily for halfway day. So we're getting there. It's closer and closer, which means another week's coming to an end, which gets us one more week closer to Mysticon.
Yay!
It's going to happen. Oh, gosh, because, you know, you could get out. You know, you really could, dude, because I think you've been cooped up far too long. You should get out and mingle amongst folks. What's the worst that could happen? Hey, welcome to February the 13th. Dun, dun, dun. Mm. Yeah, right? We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. We know us from Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of places. I joke about the meeting people, because since someone went to Contagion and is now contagious, I find that amusing. The man who has to come into work and explain to people, good gods, folks, will you let me sleep? I'm sick. That there's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Great gopher holes. It slipped my mind.
I meant to tell you I'm sick. Here, let me just sneeze in your face. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Scenery certainly is lovely to look at.
If you like scenery.
I certainly do. What happened today, sir?
I'm going to go around and lick all of my naysayers' keyboards while I'm sick. 1588, Tycho Brahe first outlines his Tychonic system of the structure of the solar system. The Tychonic system is a hybrid combining the basic idea of the geocentric system of Ptolemy with the heliocentric ideas of Nicholas Copernicus. Has nothing to do with tectonic plates, nope. As opposed to the first time I tried to say this.
1633, Italian astronomer Galileo arrives in Rome for his trial before the Inquisition, during which he will be charged with professing his belief that the Earth revolves around the sun. How dare you!
Well, he certainly didn't expect. In 1635, the first public school in the United States, the Boston Latin School, is founded.
Well, make up your mind. Is it the Boston School or the Latin School? 1741, Andrew Bedford, who should have been one of the Rat Pack, publishes the first American magazine entitled American Magazine.
Well, I didn't think the Rat Pack dated back that far. In 1795, the University of North Carolina becomes the first U.S. state university to admit students when Hinton James arrives on campus. He'll remain the only student on campus for 2 weeks. Man, he must have had to haze himself.
1866, Jesse James and his gang commit the first armed bank robbery in United States history during peacetime in Liberty, Missouri. He'll become a legendary folk hero following his death in 1882, because no one ever appreciates you when you're alive.
And nobody appreciates anybody named Jesse James after that either. In 1880, Thomas Edison first observes the Edison effect while trying to discover why his incandescent lamp filaments were breaking. Oh, I thought the Edison effect would have meant that somebody swiped one of his patents.
That's how you watch somebody steal it. In 1894, Auguste and Louis Lumiere patent the cinematograph, a combination movie camera and projector. Together, it's magic.
1912, Robert Millikan begins collecting data from his famous oil drop experiment, the purpose of which is to determine the size of the charge on an electron.
1937, Prince Valiant in the Days of King Arthur, a comic strip known for its attention to historical detail, first appears, as you can tell, by King Arthur being in it.
In 1946, the world's first electronic digital computer, ENIAC, is first demonstrated at the Moore School of Electrical Engineering at the University of Pennsylvania.
1949, in Quito, Ecuador, locals riot after learning that a Spanish language adaptation of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds and set off panic across the city was a prank. A mob burns down the radio station that broadcast the program, along with the offices of the local newspaper, which had participated in the hoax by publishing false reports of unidentified objects in the skies over Ecuador. 20 people die in the riots, including the girlfriend and nephew of one of the broadcast producers who went, "Hey, jackasses, did you not hear about this 16 years ago in America?"
Jeez.
Which also goes to show you that the Impractical Jokers better never do an episode in frickin' Mexico, because the world might end.
1960, France detonates its first plutonium bomb from a 330-foot tower at the Ragan base in the Sahara Desert in French Algeria. General Charles de Gaulle set the date for the first atomic explosion to assert France's independence on the world stage.
1990, the U.S. space probe Voyager 1 captures a photograph of the sun and six planets in a single shot taken from the edge of the solar system. The sun looks like a star, because it is, and the planets are just these little tiny dots, little tiny place.
Because we're all insignificant, and one day, we will die.
Yep. Happy holidays, kids.
In 1998, Warner Brothers releases the science fiction film Sphere, starring Dustin Hoffman, Sharon Stone, and Samuel L. Jackson.
2000, the last original Peanuts comic strip appears in newspapers one day after the legendary Charles Schulz passes away.
2001, BattleBots launches a new and improved website.
Hell yeah! 2002, Immersion files a lawsuit against Microsoft and Sony for infringing on its joystick force feedback technology with the design of the Xbox and PlayStation D controllers.
2004, the FCC establishes rules for providing internet access over electrical power lines.
Also the same day, the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics discovers the universe's largest known diamond, the variable white dwarf star BPM-37093. Scrooge McDuck immediately launched a survey team.
And I think wasn't that part of the Master's plan as well? In 2009, the science fiction television series Dollhouse premieres on Fox with the episode Ghost. The series is directed by Joss Whedon and stars Eliza Dushku.
And other people. 2012, the European Space Agency conducted the first launch of the European Vega rocket from Europe's spaceport in Kourou, French Guiana. Birthdays?
Mina Suvari, 40 years old, from American Beauty, American Pie, Sugar and Spice, and other things starting with America, I'm sure.
Neil McDonough is 53 for Minority Report, Red 2, Dum Dum in Captain America, Damien Dark in Arrow. He's currently on Project Blue Book. He's in tons of things. Go watch him.
He's got pretty eyes. Matt Salinger, 59 years old, from Revenge of the Nerds and the 1990 Captain America.
That's right. Prunella August is 61. That's Shmi Skywalker in the Star Wars prequels.
Richard Tyson, 63 years old, from 3 O'Clock High, Kindergarten Cop, and Battlefield Earth.
Jerry Springer is 75 years old, and why you people made him famous, I'll never quite understand.
Well, because he was a former mayor of Cincinnati.
Oh, people do love mayors.
Stalker Channing, 75 years old, from Grease, and Barbara Gordon in Batman Beyond.
She was almost Lois Lane. She really was. George Segal, 85 years of age, from Terminal Man, Roller Coaster, Look Who's Talking, and Just Shoot Me.
He was also Matthew Broderick's dad in Cable Guy.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Kim Novak, 86 years old. She was in a lot of stuff, but we all know her best from Vertigo.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1834, Heinrich Caro synthesized the first indigo dye, had no idea it would end up in sacks of money.
1884, Alfred Carlton Gilbert, American pole vaulter and businessman, founded the A.C. Gilbert Company, which introduced the erector set.
From pole vaulting to erectors, sure. 1932, Susan Oliver, Vina in the Star Trek original series episode, The Cage.
1938, Oliver Reed, from Curse of the Werewolf, Tommy, Adventures of Baron Munchausen, and Gladiator.
I'm sure he was in some softcore porn stuff too, but I don't know.
On CBS, we've got a new The World's Best, Auditions 3, and Criminal Minds.
ABC, it's a new Goldbergs, Schooled, Modern Family, Single Parents, and Match Game.
NBC has the Chi Tri with your Chicago Meds, your Chicago Fires, and your Chicago Pids.
Over on Fox, Gordon Ramsay's 24 Hours to Hell and Back, and then All Together Now on a new The Masked Singer.
CW has Bizarro Dale on a new Riverdale and a new All-American.
Again? Freeform is showing Pretty Woman, because that's a former ABC Family movie, a story about a prostitute.
AMC has Jurassic Park 3.
Someone FX is showing Guardians of the Galaxy, so there's a lighthearted romp.
FXX, Jimmy offers Gretchen a week of sex with no special conditions or restrictions on a new You're the Worst.
FXM, Sicario, which is not a documentary.
IFC has something that unfortunately is more than we like to admit is a documentary, Trading Places.
And it's not edited for television, though it does have commercials. Paramount is showing big, crazy big on your TV.
Sci-Fi has new The Magicians, and Marcus embarks on an assassination mission to take down Billy's father in Las Vegas on a new deadly class.
TBS has a new Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
TNT, Kevin Smith versus Jason Mewes on new Drop the Mic, and Snoop Dogg presents The Joker's Wild.
Okay, fine. I'll finally watch your stupid show.
Yeah, no kidding.
True TV, when Andrea becomes aware that a teacher's aide is cheated on, she contemplates whether she should tell the person about the unfaithfulness on an all-new and incredibly funny I'm Sorry, but we're going to be watching the Hallmark Channel, because an executive plays down her success in their dating profile in an effort to seem less intimidating. But she's matched with a male nurse who is misrepresented as a doctor, and they go to great lengths to conceal the truth about their occupations. Erica Christensen, Paul Green, and not Steve Guttenberg star in Anything for Love.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Jordan tells Diana his suspicions about Leo's paternity. He's been watching a lot of Maury. Leo presses Sonny to sleep with him, cause nothing is hotter than desperate pleas for sex. Rafe discovers Kate in a precarious state. He then flips a coin. Ben realizes he's being set up and takes drastic action. Hey Chad, you wanna be buddy cops with me? Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
You got mail, baby.
Indeed we do. Hello, all you geeky people. Tuesday's show had a laundry folding robot in the news. That was a disappointment that it only worked at a rate of one article of clothing a minute. For my part, I could feel the shade to be thrown by my wife saying, "A whole one per minute? Fascinating. Tell me more." When the robot uprising does come, I do not believe that it will be straight to murderous artificial intelligence. I think we'll see the first artificial attitude. Self-driving cars doing 55 in the fast lane, industrial robots demanding oil breaks, and worst of all, laundry robots using wire hangers! If you see everyone with stretched out pointy bits on their sweaters, be afraid. That is from Mad Sci. Well, damn it, sir, you always get a raise of the glass from me for any time you can do yourself a mommy dearest joke. That's fantastic. If you've got some I haven't heard, or even if I have, tell us. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Especially, oh, if you can do all the voices that they did, all serious and overly melodramatic, please read it to us, won't you? With a fantastic voicemail by dialing
510-GRD-CROW.
I'm not one of your fans, mother!
Do you like movies? Well, let me make you an offer that you can't refuse. Have you ever found yourself standing at the local Cineplex with that smell of freshly buttered popcorn wafting through your nostrils, wondering if that new Hugh Jackman movie is really worth your time? Or have you ever lamented about that time you spent scouring the vast expanse of the internet for movie and DVD release dates when, let's be honest, you'd rather be leveling up your Troll Hunter, working on the great American novel, or even watching kitten videos? Oh yes, I said kitten videos. I will do the work for you. All I ask is 15 to 30 minutes of your time every Tuesday. My name is Michael Faulkner, and every Tuesday is showtime at the Weekly Podioplex, your audio guide to what's new at the box office, how the top 10 fared over the weekend, and what's coming to your home theater on DVD and Blu-ray. You can find the Weekly Podioplex on the Chronic Rift Network at www.chronicrift.com, along with a plethora of other podcasts that explore the culture in pop culture. The Weekly Podioplex, brought to you by the Chronic Rift. Thanks for listening. We'll see you at the theater.
That's a wrap!
Hi, this is Julie Caitlin Brown of Babylon 5, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are, and welcome back to it. It's that time of the week. We get to go do geeky stuff.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Indeed it is, and they might have it at your local shop. If not, what is there that we can get, sir?
From Detective Comics, we've got Batman Who Laughs, 3 of 6, Justice League Dark, number 8, Scooby Apocalypse, number 34, and exiled from their home planet, alien heroes must navigate life as teens on Earth at South Metropolis High School, where they're even bigger outsiders than their typical awkward young adults. Under the watchful eye of Superman, the brothers and sisters pull monitor duty at the Hall of Justice as interns, while also trying to overcome the pitfalls of Zan's brash confidence and Reina's shy but streetwise persona. In Wonder Twins, number 1.
Over at Marvel, Age of X-Men, Next Gen 1 of 5, Savage Sword of Conan, Spider-Man Ghost Spider 5, and then night has fallen across the universe. Now 7 Avengers and one new addition journey forth to bring back the light. But when the threat they face has destroyed even the gods, will anyone make it home? Find out in Avengers, No Road Home, number 1 of 10.
From Boom Studios, we've got Adventure Time, Season 11, number 5, Amazing World of Gumball, Spring Break Smash, number 1, Saban's Go Go Power Rangers, number 17. From Dynamite Entertainment, we've got James Bond Origin, number 6, Lone Ranger, volume number 5, Vampirella's Valentine's Day Special, number 1, and Ash embarks on a soul-searching road trip to Texas on Maybe Alive and Kicking, and supposedly vanquishing a mummy. What follows is a series of universe-spanning events that involves an Elvis jumpsuit with special time travel abilities, a trip to 70s Vegas, plus the reveal of an all-new Book of the Dead, the Necronomicon Hotep, in Ash vs. Bubba Hotep, number 1. Holy cow.
Aftershock Comics, Dark Ark, number 14. That rhymes. Lost Space Race, that rhymes. Number 3. Lollipop Kids, doesn't rhyme. Number 3. Over at IDW Publishing, Dick Tracy, Dead or Alive, wraps up its 4. Disney Afternoon Giant, number 3, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 91. But over at Archie Comics, Archie and his friends present a collection of quarterly classic-style stories sure to be music to your ears. Follow Archie from the record store to the recording studio to the music awards in this collection of stories of musical mishaps and mirthful melodies in Archie and Friends Music Jam, number 1.
From Dark Horse, we've got Avatar, Tsutui, Path, number 2, Whispering Dark, number 4, William Gibson's Alien, 3, number 4. From Zenoscope, we've got Grim Tales of Terror, volume 4, number 12, and returning from her last adventure, Robin is back in New York and looking for some sort of normalcy, but not everyone feels she deserves any, and the universe is included in that list. After a close friend is attacked, Robin must take it upon herself to get to the bottom of this mystery as she's pitted against her greatest adversary yet, when she becomes public enemy number one to the city she calls home. Robin Hood Outlaw, number one.
Over at Image, Kick-Ass, number 12. Rat Queens, number 14. Spawn Kills Everyone, 2, with Jason Bateman, number 3 of 4. And everyone's favorite adolescent assassin tears Tinseltown a new one when she realizes her life's being dramatized for the silver screen. Hit Girl storm sets, wages wars on fat cat movie bosses, lures old enemies out of hiding in this Californian bloodbath in something not stolen from Kevin Smith at all in Hit Girl, season 2, number 1.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. While Disney and Netflix are, you know, trying to look friendly during their breakup, Marvel Studios has already been seen out there stepping out with other streamers to bring famous and infamous superheroes to the small screen. On Monday, and how we missed it yesterday, I couldn't tell you, Hulu announced that Disney has greenlighted a slate of 4 animated series featuring Marvel superheroes for the Hulu platform.
Hulu, the only place brave enough to tell the stories of 3D Man, Hellcow, Orb Man, and Dr. Bong.
Well, actually, they're making things that you want to see. Adult animated shows based on MODOK, Hitmonkey, Tigra and Dazzler, and take a deep breath, Kevin Smith's Howard the Duck, have all been ordered and will culminate in a special called The Offenders, in which the characters all team up.
So they're even stealing Netflix's plans? Well, hopefully they'll all get more than 2 or 3 seasons.
This Hulu deal comes as several of Marvel's series on Netflix have been unexpectedly canceled. Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist got 2 or 3 seasons. Jessica Jones, The Punisher, we'll see if they have the same fate.
Of course they will. In fact, it's almost offensive how Marvel ended up handling Netflix's superhero offerings.
Then the only thing we can say is, Offenders, assemble!
In similar thinking of Marvel and Netflix, Paramount Pictures wants to make an adaptation of Kyle Stark's Kill Them All.
Or Fox, with any good shows.
Funded via Kickstarter and published by Oni Press in 2015, Kill Them All is described as a love letter to 90s action movies. It follows a pair of protagonists, a betrayed murderess, out for revenge and a hard-drinking ex-cop looking to recapture some of his former glory. When fate brings them together, they join forces to take down a ruthless crime boss who is holed up at the top of a 15th-floor Miami skyscraper. Before they can get to him, they must navigate their way through a cavalcade of assassins, drug lords, and more.
Somewhere Steven Seagal is hoping to get a phone call to remake Dread.
The film doesn't have a director yet, however, James Coyne is writing the script. Coyne is currently working with Paramount on the sci-fi film Cascade. He's worked with Warner Brothers on Sherlock Holmes 3 and their upcoming remake of Treasure Island.
Hey, Disney, if you want to remake live action, how about giving us Treasure Planet and not Will Smurf?
Yeah, no kidding. Was Billy Crudup not available? They could just reuse the appendage animation keyframes for the tail. Josh Applebaum and Andre Namek are producing Kill Them All for Paramount. The duo previously collaborated as producers on Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. They also co-wrote the screenplay for those films. Next up, they'll produce an adaptation of Tom Clancy's Without Remorse, which stars Michael B. Jordan. Interesting thing is, if they do in fact kill them all, the sequel will be very hard to make.
Live Music's premier hologram production company.
Because this is the future, and this is a thing, even though it's not really a hologram, it's a Pepper's Ghost, which has been around since the mid-1800s, and has been used in the Haunted Mansion since the 1960s, but no, go on.
Illusion has announced the Bizarre World of Frank Zappa hologram tour, which will make its debut this April in the United States. The 9 U.S. shows kick off Friday, April 19th, with 7 European shows in May to follow. Additional dates to be announced in the coming months. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. and major ticketing outlets with a special VIP pre-sale today.
Dude, remember when we would line up outside Empire Records so we could be like the first to buy tickets from Ticketmaster?
Yeah. In 1974, Frank Zappa transformed his Los Angeles rehearsal space into a soundstage and cranked out some unbelievable performances seen and heard only by the camera operators in the room. The audio from these performances has been locked away in the Zappa vaults for 44 years and will serve as the basis for what will be the world's most ambitious hologram tour to date.
Will there be a holographic Valley of Valley Girls?
Ahmet Zappa, EVP of Business Development for Illusion and co-trustee of the Zappa Family Trust, said, "My father and I actively discussed 3D and holography, and I was
It was his concept that he actively engaged in. He actually devoted half a chapter of his The Real Frank Zappa book to this subject. This is a love letter and a journey celebrating the genius artistry of Frank Zappa. On a personal note, I feel like I'm finishing something my father started years ago. And let's not forget, Frank himself will be rocking his fans alongside his bandmates like nobody's business.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. The Zappas get to call them holograms then.
And as much as possible, never forget, all the good music has already been written by people with wigs and stuff.
Remember how we warned you that Flickr was going away?
I'm not sure I even remember Flickr.
Well, Flickr has extended the deadline for users to download their images from its servers because it starts mass deleting photos very soon. Now, the bad news is that this is definitely still happening in mid-March. So really, really make it a priority this time if you want to save your stuff.
Remember, a home cloud system is great for your photos. And yes, you can password that one folder of yours.
The company said months ago that it planned to whittle free accounts down from a terabyte to only 1,000 images and delete the rest on February 5th. After that, if users wanted to post more photos to the site, they would have to purchase a Flickr Pro account that would run them $50 annually. And not just sign up with another email address or anything. Flickr announced these changes back in November as part of an overhaul to focus on paid subscriptions after it was purchased by SmugMug last year.
Google Drive will give you like 100 gigs for 10 bucks a year. What the hell?
But despite giving users plenty of time to prepare for this massive photo purge, many were, let's say, unprepared. The problem is that there is no single button to do this. Instead, users are tasked with downloading their photos in batches of 500, which you can imagine could be a real pain in the ass for anyone with several thousand or more images to share on the platform.
Especially the passworded folder.
Now, some users also reported getting error messages while they were attempting to download their photos, which the company seems to imply in its statement Wednesday was part of the reason it pushed the deadline back to March 12th. Needless to say, some Flickr users seem genuinely pleased to have another month to get this squared away. Now, fortunately, I was able to get mine squared away last month, and I found some really great pictures that I'd always wondered where in the hell I put them up there, and a very special password-protected folder. But you can get a guide on to how to get your pics in the shots, but photo nerds, seriously, this is your last chance. Well, March 12th is your last chance. So queue up your Nickelback, look at this photograph, and get to downloading.
This spring in Yokohama, the Unco Museum will delight young and old alike with an exhibit they will all truly, truly love.
Cat photo layout?
Cute poop.
What kind of shit is that?
Cute. I just told you. And it's not the first exhibition dedicated to Dookie. There was the National Poo Museum on the Isle of Right, which is temporarily closed, and the Shit Museum in northern Italy.
What?
Yes, that's its name, the Shit Museum. Those seem to focus on either agricultural importance of doo-doo, a categorization of crap, or its uses as fecal fuel. The Unco Museum, however, is about adorable poo. Unco poop can be considered cute in Japan, like the pink turd from the Dr. Slump anime and the poop emoji that it apparently inspired. There is a giant Unco sculpture and ball pit, ball poops, I guess, photo spots and games. There is an exhibition of Unco art and Unco goods from around the world.
It really sounds like a crappy knockoff of Funko Pops.
The Unco Museum will be open for a limited time, ending its run on July 15th. Mr. Hanky will be there to cut the ribbon. And I'm sure it's going to leave a mark. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons. Attribution is non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
I don't understand why we don't have boards. I really don't.
It doesn't make any sense. How are
churning
we
out quality content like this?
I mean, what the Unco is up with that? Come on, man. Drop us a note, would you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or you can always send a voicemail to
510-GRD.
And we shall get back together the next time it's possible for us to do so.
Funny, I detect no source of amusement.
Piss off.
Peace out, player.
What the hell are you still doing here?
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
Would you know where she would have left him?
Would you pull the car over, please? I think I'm going to be sick.
What?
Would you please pull over the car? I am going to get sick.
Oh, okay, all right.
Hey! Captain!
Are you okay? You hold it. Don't leave me out of here.
Okay, now, here's Rome, and here's Porto Venere. Now, if we step on it, we can totally be there by lunchtime.
Sharon, could you pull over for a minute? I think I'm going to be sick.
Captain America is car sick. Are you okay? Wait a minute, what are you doing?
I can't take you into danger, Sharon. That much at least I can do for Bernie. Thanks for your help.
Yeah, Jack!